bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to come before you, Lord, with expectation in our hearts, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, in such a dismal day upon the earth, Lord.
Yes,
there's
Lord.
Light in Goshen, Lord. There's light in the hearts of the believers and in the city that you have the bride, Lord. What a blessed peace, Lord, and help us to fully expect the promises that you give us, Lord. You promise where as two or three are assembled together, there you are in the midst. And so that you be with us tonight and be with those the others that are gathering, Lord, your bride around the world. May you just draw us closer to you in this hour, Lord, as the world is surely given another birth pain. What an hour to be in you, Lord, and what a blessing to know these things, Lord.
Yes.
You promised and showed forth, Lord, through this hour. And pray that you would be with those that are sick and suffering and just give them deliverance, Lord, according to your word. And pray that you would continue to be with Grandma there and give her strength and be with the family there of Martha's grandparent, Lord, her grandpa that passed on, Lord, may you be with them and comfort their hearts. And I ask these blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that one in the red book that we talked about, Thirst. Precious Holy Thirst.
Dedication and the precious holy desire.
Let's do this one. I've got the Spirit of God.
Got the Spirit of God living in me. Jesus poured it out at Calvary.
Into his bride and on the cross.
Perfect ways of kindness.
It will make the lame walk
and the blind to see.
It will bring a rapture in me. see. It will bring a rapture when you believe. Every night from God living in you, it's living in me. Got the Spirit of God living in me. Jesus poured it out at Calvary. Into his bright new world he was. The manifest love.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
He says move, and speak when he says speak. Amen. I was listening to a bit today. He was talking about how that when that pillar of fire would move, his children would move.
That's right.
And he said it's moving again today.
That's right.
And it's time for the bride to recognize that it's moving and to follow his presence. Amen.
Amen.
We'll take us right on in to the next phase in the whatever you want to call the next phase, you know, he'll take a shot on. Amen. Let's sing this here. Mercy rewrote my life. F, I believe.
always like that quote Brother Branham talked about, how the Lord could move through Jesus like a building with the door open on both ends. I think it's the way he expressed it. I never can remember exactly how it is, but I got the idea. Yes. That there was no restrictions. You know, the doors open on both ends. It could blow in one and out the other. And Brother Branham said, notice the harmony between the Father and Son, and that it will be the same with God and the bride. So I cannot think of anything that is greater than that. Nothing greater than that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so happy and thankful, Lord, that we have recognized, Lord, the living waters that are flowing, Lord, and how that you've come in this day, Lord, and made all your prophecies clear, Lord, by a modern event. And Lord, you've put yourself in your bride, Lord. You're carrying out your word any way you see fit, Lord. She doesn't get in the way. She just does what you say. Lord, how glorious it is to be a part of that. Lord, to know that we're pleasing to you. Lord, I can't think of anything I would want more than to know, Lord, all the time that I'm pleasing to you. There's nothing that would give me greater joy, Lord. Nothing gives us greater joy than to know that. And that's why, Lord, the bride is so hungry for your word, Lord. So wanting to recognize the day and the hour and the message, Lord. Because that is what makes her pleasing to you. And Father, we pray you'll bring us into that in a greater way every time we come together. As we give you thanks and praise, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I trust that everybody's had a good week. And Lord, I know it's been good to you. He's always good. Even when the trials come, he's still good to us. He's always good to us. Amen. So we're going to spend the majority of our time in the this day the scriptures fulfilled tonight. And I got one quote here at the beginning. But last time we spent a good bit of time talking about how that oneness comes when your will is gone. Your will is gone. You have his mind. And we talked about how that she knows what he wants. She has his mind, so she knows what he wants. You know, you go to the grocery store to get some food, or you go out in the cart to pick something. You know what you want. There's no question about it. You just go get it. Put it in the buggy. Go get it. Pick it off the vine. Whatever it is you're looking for. There's never any doubt about it. And that's how she knows what he wants. Comes up on a certain event, she knows. If she don't know, she just be still. Because then that means he don't want to do nothing right then. And so we just do whatever he leads us to do. And there's a lot of people in this world afraid, are scared of that. Very afraid of that. It's because they haven't put their trust in him. So I just wanted to point out this one quote before we started into this other part of the message, because Brother Branham is going to hit some things that go along these lines if you look at it close. But Brother Branham is talking about the did y'all get the quotes all right?
The Wi-Fi is not.
There's no internet in here. Oh yeah. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't even think about that. I know it's been out since earlier today, like 2 o'clock this morning, or 2 o'clock this afternoon, 1:32 this afternoon it went out. So, but the first quote is from Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. That's very important. Every age, you know, you say recognizing your day and its message, Brother Branham said that when God brings his message, he interprets it. He brings it to pass. So whatever the message is, it's something that he's doing. And you recognize him doing it. When he was doing, bringing the message of justification, you recognized it in Luther. There was Luther, and he was bringing it. So let's read this one, this first quote here. See, they went to their own feelings and their own senses. But Branham is pointing to why these people missed God, why these people did not see him, why they didn't get what he was saying. They went to their own feelings and their own senses. So we have to be divorced of that altogether if we're to know him. We can't know him by our feelings. We can't know him by our senses, Brother Bram said. It's entirely faith. It's just walking and trusting him. I always used to talk about that. Katrina used to take care of our checkbook years ago, and it was a few times that it bounced because we hadn't kept up with the, you know, balance in that book, and we wrote a check thinking we had money and we didn't have money. And it wasn't that she couldn't do it. She just got sidetracked and some things like that. But I realized after a while it was stressing her. It was upsetting her that it was putting stress on her, and she had enough with the kids and things. So I said, let me have it. And she didn't want to let me have it. But finally, because she felt like if she gave it back to me, then she'd failed. And I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it as I didn't want her to stress about it. I didn't think she could do it. I know she could do it. And she probably would have kept up with it as far as keeping track, because I don't think I've balanced my book in years. But I took it from her. And after a while, she was happy that I had took it from her. It was not her responsibility to worry about anymore. And I think about a lot of times we have these things that we don't know we're holding on to, that we are trying to do ourselves or trying to make come to pass ourselves, when we should have done give it to him and then let him do it. It would have done happen a long time ago. It would have come out. And a lot of the times, the way we don't give it to him is because we want another outcome. If things going this way, we want it to go this way. And Brother Branham said, always find out before you pray what he wants. He said, change your will to what he wants. If you know what he wants, then you don't have to worry about it. You pray for that and you believe that, and then it's over. And there's too many times Brother Branham said he couldn't go in the room to pray when he didn't know why that was there. And so that's what I'm saying. So the church, and Brother Michael's talking about birth pains, so we're going to look at that here right at the beginning. So the church really is in birth pains tonight. Again, for the deliverance of the Son of God to come again. The church is going to give birth to God, to Christ, again. Don't miss that. That's what they're in. That's what they're laboring. That's what these birth pains are for. Brother Bram said that's why the dead things have to die so that they can come alive. Brother Bram said he let that shug die so that the seed could live. Son of God to come again. All of our theologians, all of our systems, all of our denominations has rotted out from under us. That's the birth pain. They've rotted out. Do you realize what that means? As they've turned away from and died, it's pulling back for the shuck to come forth. All of our denominations has rotted out from under us. So we are in birth pain. And a message from God always throws the church in heavier pain. A message causes these pains. Throws the church in heavier pain. But after a while, she's going to be delivered of a bride. The message is causing these pains and causing this bride to come forth, because that's what it's going to deliver. You see that? That'll bring forth Jesus Christ to his bride. When she's born from this church, out of it, that'll bring Christ to her. Get that? And then thinking this man had disagreed with me. Now he switched gears there real quick, and he's talking about the man that was watching him that morning when he was reading in birth pains message about the when he couldn't get the papers to come unstuck on the Bible. And he watched this man that was out there, and he thought he was disagreeing with him. And thinking this man had disagreed with me so much, when I raised up to speak this message, and I turned in my Bible to find the page. Now, I've skipped some of these things. You go back and read them. And when I started to turn over in St. John, where the scripture was found, I started to read the 16th chapter. And the verse that I was looking for wasn't there. So I thought, strange. I turned back again, still it wasn't there. And this Catholic priest got up out of his seat from about 100 clergymen sitting on the platform. Now, could you imagine coming and preaching a message, birth pains, that the message is coming forth that's pulling people out of all this mess while 100 clergymen are sitting around you? Could you imagine bringing that? I doubt it entered his mind. He knew what the Lord had put on his heart. It was far more than any of those that had to say. Priest got up out of his seat from about 100 clergymen sitting on the platform, walked over close to me with all his robes and gowns and crosses and so forth, and got right up close to me. And you can hear this on the tape. And he said, "My son, be steady. God is fixing to move." I thought, a Catholic bishop telling me that. He said, "Read it out of my book." And I read the scripture out of his book and looked at and took my text and went on, preached my sermon. And I was on my road home back to Tucson that evening, and the kids were crying for a sandwich. And I stopped to get a sandwich at the little stand. And my wife said, "Bill, I never was so nervous in all my life to see you standing up there fumbling through that Bible." Mm-hmm. Said, "Didn't that make you nervous?" And he goes and says, "No." But then on down he says, "And being a new Bible, those two pages had perfectly stuck together. And I was reading from the 17th chapter instead of the 16th chapter. That's why it didn't sound right." Well, I said, "That's all fine. It's for some cause." Yes. Now, I want you to watch how the prophet is living. Watch how the prophet faces things that happens. It's them little things that we overlook a lot of times. Oh, it's for some cause. Wasn't trying to figure out the cause. Wasn't worried about it. Nothing else. And just as plain as you could hear a voice, any voice, a voice come to me and said, "He entered into Nazareth to where he was brought up at and went into the synagogue as it was his custom. And the priest gave him the scriptures to read, and he read Isaiah 61. And when he had read the scriptures, he sat down, handed the priest back the Bible, the book, and sat down, and all the eyes of the congregation was upon him." He done read it, and he sat down. He hadn't said nothing else yet. But after he sat down, and precious words proceeded out of his mouth. And he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." Now, he flat out told them that this had just already took place. "This day, the scripture is fulfilled." Now, Brother Branham goes down through this message, and he makes example after example after example of when that word could be spoken, that phrase, this day this scripture is fulfilled. And every time, it's when it was happening. How accurate is the scripture? If you'll notice, now what the scripture he was reading there was Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, but not all of 2. If you'll notice this in Isaiah 61 to 2 is where our Lord was reading from, Isaiah 61, 2. And in the middle of the second verse of 61, he stopped where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year." And then he stopped. Why? The other part, to bring judgment, didn't apply to the first coming, but his second coming. See, it didn't apply there. So he didn't read it. See how precise it is. The scripture, not just the scripture, but God's word in the men, which is the scripture. It is God bringing it to pass. It's the interpretation of it. But his second coming, see, it didn't apply there. How the scriptures never make a mistake. They're always perfect. Now, he drew a parallel between those two scriptures, 60, brother, where Jesus read down to the middle of 61, verse 2, and stopped. And he talked about how that was just exactly and precisely. And then he goes over and he takes the last two chapters of the Old Testament, Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, and he reads Malachi 3 and he places that as John. And he shows how that this other can't be that John back there. It has to be down here. That John before the first coming, and this John and this Elijah before the second coming. And he's showing how precise it is that Malachi stopped and started. Malachi 3 was for one thing. Malachi 4 was another. Isaiah 61 through part of 2 was for one. The other half was the other. He's talking about how perfect it is. He's drew that parallel too. See those two ministries. The first one was for the first coming. Isaiah 61, the first verse and half the second one. And the other half of the second one was the second coming. And that's why he was drawing the parallel between Malachi 3 and 4. Does that make sense? Okay. I didn't know if I'd crammed it all together there. But I thought that was really good how he's pointing that out. But his second coming, see, it didn't apply there. How the scriptures never make a mistake. They're always perfect. Jesus just stopped there. Jesus just stopped just where the scripture stopped. Because that was exactly what was to be vindicated in his day now, in the first coming. So he couldn't have sat back down and said it, that this day the scripture's fulfilled, if he read all of part two. Okay. The second coming, and that's those little things that you don't want to miss, because when Brother Bram starts hammering through this message, the second coming, he will bring judgment upon the earth, but not then. He was to preach the acceptable year. Notice the Messiah standing in the platform to identify himself. Standing in the where? The platform. Mm-hmm. In front of to identify himself with the word of promise for that age. How strange. The Messiah standing up before the church. And look at those precious words when he says, to preach the acceptable year. The acceptable year, as we all know as Bible readers, was the year of Jubilee. That when all slaves, prisoners, as they were, been taken prison and had to give a son or pay a debt or a daughter to pay a debt, and they were in bondage. No matter how long they had been in bondage or how long they were supposed to stay there, when the year come of the Jubilee, when the trumpet sounded, every man could go free. If he wanted to go free, you're free. There you was no more slave. Amen. And Brother Branham said when he bowed his head and said it was finished, and it was finished. But if you desired to remain a slave, then you had to be taken down to the temple, stood by the temple post, and they took an awl and bored a hole in your ear, and then you had to serve that slave master the rest of your days. What a perfect example it is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it's preached, the acceptable time and the time of Jubilee, anybody, no matter who you are, what color you are, what denomination you belong to, how far you've stooped in sin or what's wrong with you, you can be free when you hear the gospel trumpet sound out. You are free. But if you turn your back upon the message and refuse to hear it, notice you are bored in the ear with an awl. When you refuse to hear it, you refuse to let him have his way and do what he wants to in your life. You're bored in the ear with an awl. That means to say that you have crossed the line between grace and judgment, and you will never hear the gospel again. You'll never get any further. You must be a slave to the system you're in the rest of your days if you refuse to hear the acceptable year. Now, that was in every church age, it was a message that if they refused to hear it, that's what happened. Now, the other part of it, as I said, didn't need to be answered, because this coming Messiah, a time now, so back there, he didn't need to answer it. Didn't need to be answered, because this coming Messiah, a time now, is when he will bring judgment. Now is when he's going to bring judgment. Now, how could those people fail to see who he was? How did they ever miss it? What did we say? They went to their own senses and their own feelings, he said. How did they ever miss it? How could it be, when it was so plainly made known and showed, how could they have ever missed seeing? What a tragedy that would be. But it's happened. Them missing it over and over. It's happened. It's happened many times. How could it happen? Of course, like it did in other times, by believing man's interpretation of the word, going by their own feelings and their own senses, going by group consensus. You know, all these people are saying it, so it must be right. Instead of trusting God, that's the only way to know God, is to trust him. In other times, by believing man's interpretation of the word. That's what caused it. Those believers in them days, so-called believers, was taking the interpretation of what the priest had said about it. So they was letting the priest tell them how it was going to happen. And let him tell them what was going on. Instead of letting God interpret it to them, they were letting the priest do it. They were saying, no, this one can't be. He's illegitimate. He's this. He's that. He can't be the one. Brother Ram said they thought he was going to come down and come right straight to the head priest and say, I'm here. So-called believers was taking the interpretation of what the priest had said about the scripture. Now, it has to be that you take it when God gives it to you. If he speaks it through the man, and he's going to speak it through man. But more than anything, he's going to bring it to pass. And when he brings it to pass, revelation is when you recognize him bringing it to pass. That little sister didn't have a revelation of what it was going to mean when Isaiah 9:6 was fulfilled, the one at the well. She didn't know what that meant. And she wasn't out there trying to make it happen. But when it walked in front of her, God identified himself to her. Yes. And that's the way it is in every age. But people don't want that. They want a set of rules to follow. And they can't follow the rules anyway, but they want a set of rules to follow. If I follow this, this, and this, I'm okay. Is that right? Asking some man. The man, if he's a godly man, will tell you what the word said. And when he tells you what the word said, that'll create such a hunger in your heart that you'll find the Lord and you'll want it. That hunger is him drawing you to him. What the priest had said about the scripture, that's what they were taking. Therefore, Jesus, not belonging to any of their ranks or their societies, he was excommunicated from their company. Now, as he's going down through here and he's talking about this being, what did he call it a while ago? I forgot what the word was he had used. But I don't know why I lost my thought, but I did. I'll get it here in just a minute. So therefore, Jesus, not belonging in any of their ranks or their societies, he was excommunicated from their company. So he's typing the ministry back there with what's happening when the ministry starts here in this day. See, he's pointing it out back there. They excommunicated him. And we read the last service or the service before how that he'll manifest and plant the seed of the entire Bible and they'll get rid of him. And now he's pointed out to them now. He said they can't be bound any tighter than they're already bound. You know, judgment. Therefore, Jesus, not belonging to any of their ranks or their societies, he was excommunicated from their company. They didn't want him because he didn't fit their interpretation. How he could stand there and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes. How outstanding, how so plainly, and yet those people misunderstood. Because they weren't relying on God. There's so many people that aren't relying on God. They're relying on everything under the sun. Brother Branham said, if you want to know that you've been born again, he said, watch your life and see if it's just lived easily. If it's just lived out of you. He asked somebody, and he asked him there at Jeffersonville one time, He said, how many has the Holy Ghost? He said, and a bunch of them put their hands up. And he said, the scripture says that those that had the Holy Ghost sighed and cried for the abominations that were done in the city. So, do you? He said, that's what the scripture says those that had the Holy Ghost did. But now you find people trying to get just as close to it as they can and still call themselves in the message. It's just the biggest mess I've ever seen. And yet those people misunderstood. Why? It's because they took the interpretation of some order of priest that they were listening to. What made them have this confidence that these men were this? That they should listen to what these men say? What made them have this confidence? Was it the works of God happening in their life and the works that was wrote taking place? Was the truth being preached? Was that what it was? Or was it something else? See, that's what it was. It was something else. It wasn't the word that was giving them confidence. And history always repeats itself. And so now he's pointed out how the Jesus was thrown out. Now he's talking about history always repeats itself. And scripture has a compound meaning to it. A compound revelation. Which one is that? Which is he still talking about this day the scripture is fulfilled? Yeah, he is. For instance, like it was said in the Bible, said, out of Egypt I have called my son, referring to Jesus. Run the margin on that and you'll find out it also referred to Jacob. Same scripture. Jesus was his greater son. Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt, which the Schofield reference and all the other references give to it, because that's the scripture it was referring to. So it had a double answer. Yeah. That one scripture had a double answer. It had an answer to Jacob called out and to Jesus called out. And so is it today. is because that we're in such a turmoil as we are, and people fail to see the truth of God, is because there's too many man-made interpretations of God's word. That's why they fail. Whether it's our own interpretation, our own self, or whether we believe somebody else's interpretation, there's just way too many. This hour that we live in, if we're not sold out to God, if He's not the thing that's on our heart and mind, then Brother Branham said, you have to be looking for it. It has to be everything. You know, it had to be everything to that first church age back there. They had to run and hide to find places to meet. You knew it had to mean something. And every time they got together, they could be caught. They could be killed. As time went on, it got worse and worse. But they still done it. The scripture said, forsake not yourselves, just assembling together. And they still did it. It didn't matter what it was going to cost. I don't know how much of people that's in the message believes the message like that even. You see, the truth of God is because there's too many man-made interpretations of God's word. Too many men trying to bring it to pass themselves. God don't need nobody to interpret His word. He is His own interpreter. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It's all in His hands. God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That doesn't need an interpretation. He brought it to pass. Doesn't need one. Just like with Jesus, it said these things. And Jesus come in and said, this is fulfilled. He said, a virgin shall conceive. And she did. That doesn't need any interpretation. When God's interpretation of His word, God's interpretation of His word is when He vindicates and proves it to be so. When He does it. There is no other vindication of His word other than when He does it. Period. You ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's when He does it. When God's interpretation of His word is when He vindicates and proves it to be so. That's His interpretation. By making it come to pass, He's the only one who can make it come to pass. It's His word. That's where God's interpretation is when He makes His word come to pass. He is interpreting it to you. Now you think about what happened there with Jesus and Peter. That's what He was doing, interpreting His word. Like if there had never been light, and He said, let there be light, and there it was. That don't need anybody to interpret. Look what He's promoting. Look what He's telling them. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to make it happen. Stop trying to do this. Stop trying to do that. Take what it said. Let God entrust Him to show you what it means. So many people won't do that. And the message is full of now people trying to take the message and interpret it, what it means. But we get man-made systems mixed into it. What is man-made systems? Man's trying to make it, trying to interpret it. We get man-made systems mixed into it. And when you do, you get it out of line. It's always been that way. Man always tries to do it, and he always gets it out of line. But I still think of how striking it must have been. Think of it. The Messiah, why did they fail to see Him? Because the very leaders that ought to have known Him, that ought to have been versed in the Scripture, the ones that ought to be waiting for this Scripture to take place, had already decided what the Scripture means. And they would not turn loose of their idea. they worshiped their own idea, just like Satan. Satan worshiped his idea of his kingdom, the kingdom he thought he should be. And he wasn't going to turn loose of it. That's what he wanted. And they're the same. And if we do it, we're the same. Anybody who won't turn loose, you will not get into the kingdom of heaven on your own this or that. You'll get into the kingdom of heaven as with him as your overcomer. Knowed him. They ought to have known him. Ought to have been versed in the scripture. They ought to have been understanding of the scriptures. They belittled this man and said he's an illegitimate child to begin with. Everything that was taking place in his life, they just swiped it like that because of their idea that he was illegitimate when he wasn't. Mm-hmm. A completely fabricated idea of their own kept them from seeing that this was him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there was other ones they didn't like. But, you know, we've read some of them. He's an illegitimate child to begin with. We wouldn't believe that. No wonder. If he would come to Jeffersonville tonight and make an act like that, they'd still talk about him. But remember, now I left out what he's talking about there, so you can go back and read that. I was trying to save, I had like 9 pages to begin with, and this is Wednesday night. I didn't want to hold y'all a long time. But remember, he came to do one thing, was the will of God. And the bride in the last day will have that same motive, same intention, same spirit, that they want to do the will of God all the time. Now that's found in St. John 5:19. You'll get the answer. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son." How they ought to have knowed that was the very vindication of the prophecy of Moses. They knew about Moses. They professed Moses. "For the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet likened unto me." Did you notice when he seen the man? He said Jesus knew that he had been in this condition for many years. See, being a prophet, he saw that man in that condition, this is the one he went down and prayed for, passing all the other ones. He saw that man in that condition and went down there and waved his way through, around and through those people, mincing through the crowd until he found that certain man. Knew right what to do. And went right down and done it. Passed by the lame, the halt, the blind, the withered, yet a man full of compassion. But compassion is doing the will of God. If he'd have stopped anywhere else, he wouldn't have not been doing the will. He would not have been the person he was supposed to be. Now we find him, and today I think there's too many people worried about what somebody else is going to think, or somebody else is going to say, or somebody else is going to insinuate, or someone else is going to assume, or whatever. We're too worried about it. People's just too worried about it, and they won't just stay right with what God said. That's what's wrong with. Well, I shouldn't be so down, but I've just seen so much where people turn things down. Won't be still and look at the message. They just turn it down. Now we find him as he would not go join up with them. He would not have nothing to do in their ranks. That sound like somebody else. He wouldn't join up with them. I read today where Brother Ram said he went right amongst the oneness and right amongst the Trinitarian. And he said, "I didn't join up with any of them." as he would not join up with them. He would not have nothing to do with their ranks. Then he was an outcast. See, he wouldn't come and act like them. He wouldn't come and assume what they were saying was right. He wouldn't come and say, oh, well, this priest, because he was elected by the people, he must be the one. We must have to listen to him. You know, I'm just trying to give examples. He wouldn't do like they wanted him to do, like they were doing, because it wasn't in the word. Besides that, he went into the temple one day. A man went in there and found the house of God just about contaminated as it is today. They were buying, selling, changing money, and he turned over the money tables, took ropes and platted them, and beat the money changers out of the temple and looked upon them with anger and said, it's written. He's going to give them the message. Hallelujah. My Father's house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And you with your... Now, what he said was true. Absolutely true. And they knew it. But he had insulted them. He had looked upon them with anger. Am I making any sense? I mean, you've heard it nowadays so many times. And you with your traditions has made the commandments of God of none effect. Because they try to believe it like that, it has no effect anymore. It's not the word anymore. Oh, could a bunch like that ever believe in him? Where that was their motive, that was their objective, they had not separated from the world. Could they believe in him? Oh, could a bunch like that ever believe in him? No, sir. They had been so hog-wallowed in the muck of society, caring about what people think, the filth of the day, what was considered all right by whoever they hung around with, until they were so ecclesiastical, froze up, until they couldn't feel the vibrations of the power of Almighty God. They had no humility. They knew so much. They were so lifted up and so great. They thought, see, by what the way they measured men, they measured high. And by the way they measured men, he measured really low. Of the power of Almighty God. No wonder that the little woman could touch his garment and get healed by it. See the respect. They had no respect. So nothing came from it to them. When she had respect, virtue flowed from him. Talk about waters, living waters coming forth. The little woman could touch his garment and get healed by it, and a drunken soldier could spit in his face and feel no virtue. Depends on how you approach it. God has to draw you. And that's why I keep saying over and over, that pull, and as Brother Michael was talking about, that thirst, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, look how valuable that is. He's given you the way to approach it. He's drawn you to him so that when you come, you'll get what you have need of. Depends on how you approach it. Depends on what you're looking for. If you already got your idea, or you're saying, God, show me. When you go to church, it depends on what you're looking for. We know that when the Messiah cometh, he'll come down the corridors of heaven and go to our high priest and say, here I am, Caiaphas. Now, you know, Brother Branham, when he's saying this stuff, he knows that these preachers, these high and mighty preachers that he's dealing with back there, are thinking this might be like, what do they call it, a caricature. Brother Branham might be like building it up, but this is the way they're looking at him. And most importantly, the way the message is coming, they don't believe it. So you don't know your scriptures. They said, where'd you go to school at? And he told them on his knees. They know nothing about that school. If they did, they wouldn't have been in that college or whatever, or they would have come out of it. But we find out that he didn't do it that way because it wasn't written in the word that way. He couldn't do it that way because it wasn't written in the word to do it that way. Look how close that is. And Brother Branham said it is written in the word what's going to take place in Christ's ministry today. Excuse me. Oh, goodness. I got strangled. Brother Branham said that the bride will fulfill what's written about him. Is that what it said when we read that, the last message or the one before that? I read that scripture that said that the bride will fulfill everything that's wrote about him because he didn't get to finish his ministry. Remember I read that quote this last time or the one before? And what are we reading here is the other part. It's judgment. And what does he do when he gets, when he opens the book? The book opens when judgment. He's left the mercy seat. He opens the book, and what is he? He's going to have judgment. And what does he do? He calls for his bride to come to him. And what did we just read was what was calling the bride to him? This message. I mean, it just dovetails so beautifully together. Okay, it was calling them out of the church into him. It didn't do it that way because it wasn't, he didn't do it that way because it wasn't written in the word that way. It was a man-made tradition that caused them to believe that. It was their own idea that caused them to believe that. The word had said that he would come just the way he come. And where he stood reading the word and saying to them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. And still, they fail to see him or recognize him like they did in all other ages. If they did it in all other ages, they're going to do it today. And they have done it today. And how did they do it? By having their own idea, and they weren't going to turn loose of it. How I could stop here and tell you what that old priest told me, said, son, you never finished that message. He's talking about the birth pain message. I said, keep still. He's on the platform after the service, and he had walked up to Brother Branham, and he was telling him, he said, son, you didn't finish that message. And Brother Branham was saying, now keep still. He said, you mean them Pentecostals don't see that? I said, no. He said, I see it. And the Catholic priest too. He said, why didn't you go on? Why didn't you go on and finish that message? His brother wanted to hear the rest of it. I said, keep still. He said, glory to God, I see it. And about that time, the Holy Ghost fell on his sister, sitting out there in the meeting, and she raised up, speaking in unknown tongues, and gave the interpretation of the very thing that the priest and I were talking about on the platform. The whole church, the whole place went into a roar, carried on over into Oral Roberts convention last week or week before last, and was the talk of the convention. How that priest, sitting under the Holy Spirit, revealed out there through a woman, his sister, I believe it was, of what was taking place up there on the platform, and revealed that thing that we were hiding. The hour that we're living, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now he talked about, I don't think it was in this message, it was in another one. He was talking about, he said, it's already been confirmed. He said, you that's been thrown out. And he said, you that's trying to push these new arcs on an old cart, or I can't, or it's vice versa. He's talking about a denomination. He said, it's already been called. It's already been marked for the burning. He said, don't stay in there. The hour that we're living, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. This day, the evening lights have come, and we fail to see it. Notice, John said, this day I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah, prepare the way for the Lord. So there's John saying what Isaiah said he was going to say. And he did. And John wasn't just saying it to be saying it. He was saying it because something's taking place. And they didn't understand it, say, oh, you're Jesus, you're the Christ, rather. He said, I am not the Christ. He said, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. But he said, he's standing among you somewhere. For he was sure that he would be there. He'd be there, be in his day. Don't miss that. John was sure he was going to be there in his day. And Jesus coming down there confirmed John's message. That was the thing that confirmed it. Mm-hmm. Jesus coming on the scene and the dove coming down and anointed him. John was on the scene when the dove come down and anointed Christ. He would be there. He would be in his day. Because God told him he was to introduce the Messiah. And what was Brother Branham told? So it has to be in his day too. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell the bride. She knows that. She's listening. One day a young man come walking down through there. And he seen like a light over the top of him, a sign. And he cried out, behold, the Lamb of God. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before you. See, sure. Now, if you go on, you'll go down. Brother Branham talks about baptizing the 17th person and how that the Holy Spirit spoke and said that you'll forerun the second coming. And then he says that scripture is fulfilled. So go ahead and read the rest of that message. But this, he tried to preach this earlier and he ended up getting cut short. He only preached like 30 minutes, 30 something minutes. But this is out of that first one. He was trying to get it in. But you notice here, he said at the end of the church age, it had got in such a mess till he would be revealed again as Son of Man. Why is he revealing him as Son of Man? Because the church is a mess. What's the Son of Man going to do? Take the mess away. That's pretty simple. It got in such a mess, he would be revealed again as Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, how appropriate was that mix up yesterday? Now he preached this the day after, because he'd recognized it, like he said, on the way back home. How appropriate was that mix up yesterday? And I hope you don't miss it. We have had the revelation of the Son of God. But the last promise that Abraham had before the Son was made or brought into existence, the one that he had been promised before the promised Son showed up, God manifested himself there at Sodom as a prophet, being a man in flesh, God, Elohim. As I heard someone speak it a while ago, with the Godhead bodily, which the Godhead bodily was in him, he was the fullness. Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we notice there when Abraham saw him coming, he said, my Lord. There was three of them. And down in Sodom, Lot saw two and said, my lords, lack of revelation. So notice what taking place here. When he come up, how he made himself known. How did he make himself known? Could I not say this if I had just been on my toes? In other words, if he'd just been on his toes and recognized what was happening during that service. Could I not have said this? Could I not have said this if I had just been on my toes? See, the brother prophesied then. He said to me what he did. This day, watch what he did right after reading of that scripture. In the days when the Son of Man, not a man, not a human being, it says God manifested here through man. Not a man, not a human being. The Son of Man will reveal himself among his people again. This day, this promise of this hour that we're now living in is fulfilled before our very eyes. He turned immediately to the congregation and 10 or 12 or whatever people it was out there unknown. He did the very same thing he did at Sodom. This day has this scripture been made manifest before you. It's been made true before you. Then my brother and sister, delegates, ministers, whatever we are here, children of God, how close are we to the coming then? If we're now seeing the scripture that he promised just before the fire fell in Sodom to burn it up and liken this day to it and seeing this scripture right before our eyes be fulfilled, how close are we to the coming of the Son of God then? This is right at the beginning of 1965. These messages that started to come forth. How close is the manifestation of the scriptures like it did through Abraham? Bringing the church up in type, which he was the promise to the church. And how we find out that Abraham's natural seed, how they failed. But the royal seed of Abraham, which is by faith, in the promised word, is now being manifested on the earth today. That he was promised, is being manifested on the earth today. We are at the end time, brothers and sisters. We are at the end. Now he says a little bit more about that. I'm going back in the message from that we were on earlier. Now I ask you to consider the age and time that we now live in. With the promised word for today, if back in other ages man could say this day this scripture, then what about the scripture for this day? What's promised for this day? Where are we standing? What hour are we living? When the clock is beating, the scientific clock 3 minutes before midnight, world has got the jitters, the church is in the bed of corruption. There nobody knows where they're standing, what time of day it is it? What about the scripture for this day, the conditions of the church or the conditions of the church today? Notice another great sign. The Jews are in their homeland, their own nation, their own money, a member of the United Nations. They got their own army. They got everything. They're in their homeland, which Jesus said, learn a parable of the fig tree. There they are. Right back in their nation. This day, this scripture is fulfilled, the Jews in their homeland. Now, but in this day, there is to come a super royal seed of Abraham. That's what he called Jesus, royal seed of Abraham. That's exactly what it be. Would be a royal bride to the royal promised son. What did he just say a while ago at the beginning of this message? That message, that birth pains, the message was bringing the birth pains and bringing the bride to him. And he said, when she's born, he comes to her. Will be a royal bride to the royal promised son. And I spoke last night. It won't be a natural seed. It'll be a spiritual seed. There is to be a spiritual bride raised up, which will be the royal seed of the royal faith of Abraham's royal son. She is to come on the scene in the last days, and the time and the place is a promise that's given to her. The time and the place is a promise that's given to her. Amen. This message, when he calls to her, the message is only to her. It's not to everything and everybody else. It's only to her. I don't know what else to say. The more I think about Abraham, and I think about that covenant that he gave Abraham, when Brother Branham said that when he gave that covenant to Abraham, that grace covenant, that I will, the I am, I've already done it, Abraham. When he done that, Brother Branham said that was him beginning to make man again. Wasn't making him based on the other covenant. He was making him based on the new covenant. All of it goes together. But when I think about that, and who are we, at the very end, the royal seed of that promise that he gave Abraham. He gave that promise to Abraham, and it brought three sons. Right? And the third one was Jesus Christ, who is the royal seed of Abraham. And we were in that same promise. That promise he gave Abraham brought the spiritual son, Jesus Christ, on the scene. And we're going to go through that here. If you've been listening to those messages, we're going to get to that eventually. But you see how he did it, how he brought Jesus on the scene. And it manifested that royal seed, the first one to come to maturity. And then from that one that come from maturity came all the other sons and daughters of God. And so there was no other way for them to come except like that. This was his bride. He took her out of his side. That was his bride that he took. All right, let's stand. And I've been thinking about that song. I used to sing it all the time. Lift me up above the shadows. Plant my feet on higher ground. Can I get one of them books? Page it is here. 313. Above the shadows, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where sunshine is fine. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength. Lift me up above the shadows till I stand with thee at length. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand. Lift the mountain top of glory. Let me dwell in Beulah land. Lift me up above the shadows, for the storms are passing now. Lift me up, my blessed Savior. Let me to thy bosom fly. There no evil thing can touch me over on this shining side. Lift me up above the shadows, let me evermore abide. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me dwell in Beulah land. Lift me up above the shadows, out of sorrow into joy. Lift me up above thy grief. Let me go no higher. Let me forsake the spirit. In my songs I walk from thee. Lift me up above the shadows till lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me stand in Beulah land. One more time. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me dwell in Beulah land. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't get real excited about this world no more. The only thing I get excited about is the word, about somebody knowing the word. And I pray that the Lord will just use us, you know, all of us. Right. And any way he wants to. There has to be somebody out there still. Or the word is not fully manifested somewhere. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace, Lord. It's been all through our lives, Lord. Your grace has been there for us. Lord, pushing us along, drawing us along. Lord, many times we had no idea what was happening. Just like a lot of times Brother Branham said, the prophet will say stuff and not know what it means. But he'll say it anyway. Like Isaiah, not knowing those things. And he said them anyway, Lord. And Father, our lives have been the same way a lot of times. And Father, we pray that you'll go with us this week. You will help us, Lord, in the study. And help us, Lord, in our life, Lord, that it is a pure, perfect reflection of you, Lord. And by helping, I mean, Lord, if we're not out of the way, get us out of the way. Help us to know where to get out of the way that we might be pleasing. For that is our one true desire, Lord, is to be pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.